You're listening to Blue Yonder with your hosts, Jim Jones, Peter Street, and introducing Aaron Hubbard.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 63 of Blue Yonder. My name is Jim Jones.
And I'm Aaron Hubbard.
You can find us at baldmove.com, if you couldn't guess that.
Show named Blue Yonder.
But yeah, come on man, they should know. Mm-hmm. Blue Yonder, Bald Move, it's all the same.
It's an anagram.
Something like that. this week we are talking about robot cars, mm-hmm. and we're talking about the human implications of Roger Ebert's feeding tube.
I guess, yeah.
But before that, of course, we always do the bullshit up front. Do you have any bullshit this week, Aaron?
Dude, I have so much bullshit.
Bring it. I want to taste the bullshit.
First of all, PSN update.
It's just in. PSN down. Still fucking down. Oh, my God.
And I think it's responsible for the fact that my Portal 2 save that was like 90% complete got overwritten by your fucking 10% complete save over the weekend. Because that shit's supposed to sync to the Steam Cloud.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell? And then I went in there to look, and apparently that all goes through the PSN.
Oh, that's worthless.
I thought, like, Netflix, it had its own separate deal. But apparently it's got to go through PSN, so none of my saves got saved.
So
except for the last one.
Oh, that's right, because... No, didn't...
Yeah, because there's no inventory management or anything like that, so fuck. Why would they save multiple saves?
Wow.
I think that's bullshit still.
I think so, too. You need at least
three save slots. I should be able to save every... Slots. What if I want to save just like a spot that's awesome and play that one sequence?
Yeah.
I'm that's it. PS3 version, fuck you. I'm going to this... I tried to get it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to the PC version.
It's a smart move. I don't know how you're playing that thing on PS3 anyway. First-person shooter, like a puzzle, like a Twitch puzzler?
It's not a Twitch puzzler.
It's not?
No.
Not Twitch at all? Wow, okay.
The
first one was, for sure.
Yes, you're right. There's one place where I thought there was some Twitch puzzling, and then I realized I could just walk like 20 feet this way from the beginning and see the spot that I had to do a Twitch shot at.
Okay.
And open it in the portal in advance.
There's Twitch puzzling in my bedroom all the time, by the way. Twitch puzzling. Well, most of it happens there.
That goes without saying. But anyway, this shit's been down for 3.5 weeks now.
Oh, and it won't be up for at least another 3.5.
I said on the forums, literally the day that it was announced, that I don't see this coming up. I said, I don't see it coming up in May at all, and I'd be surprised if it's up by June. And then, lo and behold, Sony confirms that they're not even planning. Their plan is to have it go live on May 31st.
And the best laid plans,
we know. They say that 24 hours after they said that they found the new depths of the penetration.
Yeah, the third hack, right?
Right. So, I mean, I don't know what people are going to do about Sony at this point. I mean, are people if I had other consoles,
you got to jump ship, right? If you haven't 360, you're buying games for 360 now.
Exactly. If you have a 360 or any other, I don't know why you would keep PlayStation. I keep the PlayStation because it's my media center,
sure,
it's my Blu-ray player. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to think long and hard. I mean, they never took my credit card, thank God.
Yeah.
But I'm going to think long and hard about trusting them on my information at this point.
And now at this point, you can't delete any of the games or any of the media you have on your machine because then you couldn't get it again from the PSN, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you couldn't go delete Scott Pilgrim and download it again.
I don't know if you can do that anyway.
Really? Oh, so it's like an iTunes system where you buy it once and...
I honestly have never tried that. I've deleted demos, but I've never deleted like full release games. I'd be scared to at this point because God knows how Sony would handle it.
Sure, sure.
So that is decidedly bullshit. And
yeah.
I mean, again...
But expected, right? I mean, we talked about how long it was going to be down a couple casts ago when it first came out.
And I'm actually going to stick my neck out a little bit and say I'm going to be somewhat surprised if they hit their deadline.
So you're saying they're going to miss their deadline. It's going to go into June.
Yes.
And we still won't have PSN.
This is, above all, an IT project. and an IT project governed by outside authorities that are standing on their shoulder, tapping their foot and saying, make me happy. So,
and that's key, and do it exactly right.
Yeah, they can't cut corners.
No.
I mean, they're going to have to undergo a bunch of testing to ensure that the stuff can't happen again.
And I don't think people understand how much corner cutting there really is in the IT industry. That's the only thing that gets projects out the door in a reasonable amount of time.
The only reason I've ever hit any PCI deadline is because I got the shit fixed at the sample stores. And it had a whole year to make the rest
make
of the stores look like that.
Yeah.
So, like, if I had to, like, make everything work, I'll just say, like, we had a we successfully passed a level one audit on March 25th.
Congratulations. That's not easy.
No, it's not. And we are still rolling out the shit that fell out from that.
Uh-huh.
Like, we're still a month or two away from having it complete. And we had a pretty clean audit.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, again, we're a much smaller team, but there's only, you know, read the Mythical Man month. There's only so many bodies you can throw at a problem before it just becomes a bunch of bullshit and stuff like that.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
But yeah, I'd be surprised if they got it up by May 31st, honestly. I'm thinking more mid to end June.
I'm with you. I think this is a bigger project than even Sony imagines at this point. And their May 31st deadline is optimistic at best.
I will say that I think there's a little there's kind of a little bullshit going on because people are like, oh, they ran an unpatched Apache server outside of Firewall. Okay, probably. Name me one large organization that doesn't have an unpatched Apache thing outside of Firewall. Keyword, outside of Firewall. Sony wasn't running their whole fucking PSN network outside the firewall.
Yeah.
So if something was outside the firewall, it by definition probably is not going to be able to be used for an exploit on their internal network.
Well, that's the thing. Like, web servers are typically outside of the firewall.
Well, they're supposed to be in what's called the DMZ.
Okay, and so just it's like port 80 through? Is that
so it's like between, so you got the internet and then you got the DMZ, which is kind of like there's a firewall between the DMZ and the internet, and there's a firewall between the DMZ and the corporate network. So web servers are supposed to live in that demilitarized zone.
Yeah.
And then you've got your corporate network on the inside.
Huh.
So
they didn't do that. They didn't have that DMZ for their web server.
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, that might be part of the exploit, but there's no fucking way that that is just as simple as, because I heard a lot of that on the internet, and I'm like, and people are like, well, if you don't run firewalls, like, trust me, Sony runs shitloads of firewalls.
Yeah, speculation on the internet has gone to critical levels.
Well,
no one knows what they're talking about.
Everybody's amateur internet security specialist.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm not even going to claim that I know what it's about. I mean, I don't do security for a living.
I don't either.
I program, and I know about web servers, and I know how our network is set up, but I don't know about security protocols and stuff like that.
Right. I just know that it's not accurate to say Sony didn't use firewalls.
Sony had no security whatsoever.
Yeah, if you can fix a problem by going to Best Buy and spending $100, that's not the fucking problem.
On a D-Link firewall?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So
that's kind of bullshit. I did want to mention real quick, if we're done with that.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. I did want to mention real quick that our Fast Five review podcast is up on our forums.
All you have to do
is go to forums.ballmove.com. Create an account, we'll authorize you, and you can listen to that. It's about 45 minutes or so on Fast and Furious 5. We were at a bar. We're at
B-Dubs.
And we recorded it, so there's a lot of background noise.
You can hear me gnawing on a buffalo wing or two.
Sound quality's not great. I've got chicken in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. But
I was lit.
I
smuggled a pint of Southern Comfort into the movie theater.
Drinking, and I was like, okay, he's going to stop drinking soon. And he just didn't stop.
No, the whole...
He kept drinking.
About every 5 minutes. Like, anytime...
Anytime
I saw my reflection of Vin Diesel's oiled up arms, I took a drink.
Anytime The Rock sweated, he took a drink.
For every drop of sweat on the Rock's brow, I took a drink. I got hammered.
Yeah, you did.
Check that out. And all the, by the way, we do have to authorize you if you sign up for Form account because we get, ever since the 3.0 version of the PHP BB software came out, spam has been a huge problem. Now there's a couple of new CAPTCHAs that supposedly will fix it and we're experimenting with those. But in the meantime, we literally get like 10 to 20 fucking fake accounts a day that would spam our forums. So we had to close it down.
We have to authorize you now.
If you want, because if you got like an iffy name, because a lot of them are obvious. It's
if your name is like JiffyX420 or something, we're probably not going to authorize you.
Right. You probably need to send us an email and let you know that, hey, I'm a real person.
And we'll if you do want to send that email, send it to blueyonder@baldmove.com. We'll both get it, and we can authorize you.
Right. But we're working on the CAPTCHA problem right now to get, because they did have a little hot fix that allow you to swap out better CAPTCHAs.
Yeah.
Is that how you say CAPTCHAs?
I say CAPTCHAs.
Kafkas?
CAPTCHA. Like, Kafka. Like, we captured you.
Oh.
Because you're captioning all the people. You can't even say that right.
No.
I couldn't even say that if I was sober. Captioning all the people who are trying to get into your forums and vandalize you.
And rounding them up and putting them in camps.
And growing bamboo through their bodies.
Right. But we try to keep up on that. I mean, we both get it synced to the phone, so.
Yeah, so we get it immediately and we can just authorize you. Also, we have a bunch of bonus material there from previous casts that we've done.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth your time to just go sign up. It takes like 2 seconds to sign up. You just create a username and password and you're done.
Yeah. And you might actually be able to hit the bonus cast as soon as you get on. I know you can't post, but you might actually be able to access the forum. So if you just want, if you don't give a shit about posting, you just want to get our sweet, sweet bonus material. Yeah. Sure. So, I have an update. About 3 weeks ago, I slandered my son. And I said that he filled up my motorcycle with oil.
Oh, yeah.
Turns out I have to apologize. So when he's like 20 years old and he's listening to these podcasts after I've drunk myself into an early grave, he's trying to figure out where it all went wrong.
Well, this is why you've drunk yourself into an early grave.
Yeah. When he gets to episode 58 and I slander him, I want to say, I'm sorry, son. It wasn't your fault. It's not your fault. Quit fucking with me, Dad. It's not your fault. It turns out I'm the dumbass.
Was that a Good Will Hunting reference?
It was a tiny Good Will Hunting.
That's awesome. Good job.
It turns out, and I don't want to get too technical for the users, the listeners, the users, the junkies.
Oh, they use our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. They use nefarious purposes.
Use it like an old gym sock.
Oh, gross. how do you use your old gym socks?
all your socks are gym socks, aren't they?
I plant tomatoes. They are. Okay.
Anyway, so what I did is there's a thing called a petcock on a motorcycle.
Whoa!
I know. It's explicit language here.
A what? Oh, God.
A lot of motorcycles don't have gas gauges.
A petcock.
That's right. So the a petcock. So the way they work is there's a little valve on the bottom of your fuel tank that you've got, like, on and reserve. So when you're got on the on position, it runs, you know, the gas down, and then it exhausts that, and your bike starts sputtering and dying, and you know, oh, time to switch to reserve, which means you've got exactly 1 U.S. gallon of gas left. So get your ass to a filling station.
Sure. And which means you have like 400 miles left on a motorcycle.
No, not really. Because I get like 45 miles a gallon on the Bandit.
That's pretty good.
So, they got that, and then a lot of bikes that are carbureted, which is a lot of them, have an additional position called prime. And what that's used for is, like, when you pull your bike out from the winter and it hasn't ran for a couple months, your carburetors are completely dry, no gas, and it takes forever to crank over to pull enough gas in to get the thing started. So you put prime, and that just, like, lets gravity feed the gas directly to the carburetors, eject it into the cylinders, they explode, things start happening. So I did that, and I also choked the bike, which cracks open the throttle and enriches the mixture to get it started for the winter. Mm-hmm. And I rode around, and I went out to the filling station. I filled up the tank with fresh gas, and I rode it back, and I shut it down. And I left the petcock in a prime position, and I left the bike like quarter choked.
See, I didn't realize that you actually rode this thing in that
condition. Well, no. It's not in that condition yet. So now I parked it.
Oh, okay.
And gravity fed the gas into the carburetors. It eventually filled those up, and since the throttle was cracked a little bit open to choke, gas flooded into the cylinders. They leaked through the seals, and they filled the crankcase. There was 2.5 gallons of gas mixed with the oil, with the 4 quarts of oil in the engine.
Oh.
And I actually started the motherfucker and ran it for 30 seconds like that. That's how badass the old GSXR engines are.
That's not bad.
Which is what beats at the heart of my Bandit.
And nothing exploded.
Nothing. It just sounded like a kind of weird washing machine, and then I looked down and I saw that the thing was full of oil, and I'm like, oh. Well, no, it wasn't full of oil. It was full of oil and gas.
And gas, yeah.
So I got it all fixed out. It's running now. No harm done. Sorry, I drug your name through the mud, Jack. Daddy, sorry. So there's their bullshit segment.
Thanks for listening to Motorcycles Weekly.
That's right. Take a little automotive break.
The personal arrogance guys do sports. We do motorcycles, apparently.
Yeah, I'd like to do sports. So. I want to get with Eric. Sports, I want to do Eric and get with a geek sports.
There
guest.
You go. There, sports for geeks. I think a lot of geeks would be interested in sports if they understood why they're interested.
Yeah. Well, we'll get with that.
Okay.
You got another bullshit stop? Because I got like two more.
Well, I got
a couple
one.
I can push to next week, but I got two more that
well,
I want to get
to. Well, the big one we want to talk about is the movie we saw last night, Thor.
Thor,
right?
The mighty Thor.
We're going to move this to bullshit. This is not, we're not going to talk about this forever, but.
No.
Thor. So, I don't know what to say about this movie. It's a fantasy movie, basically, right?
Yeah.
So, you know where I stand on fantasy.
It's like a fantasy fantasy. Like, they took the Norse mythology. I was reading on Wikipedia a little bit about this today.
Okay.
They derive a surprising amount of their base material from actual Norse mythology. Like, all
sure,
the thing
yeah.
about the Rainbow Bridge and Asgard and the Nine Worlds and a World
yeah.
Tree and Humdinger or whatever the guy's name.
Yeah, his name's Humdinger.
I mean, that shit's, like, legit.
Yeah.
And the hammer Mjolnir.
Yeah.
I feel like
M-J-O-L-N-I-R,
like remember the old Star
right?
Control race, the transforming ship, it was the Mjolnir.
Uh-huh.
That's
yeah.
how when I see Mjolnir, that's what I think of.
You think wheelbarrow, right?
Right.
Now see that's a problem in this a little bit because most of the characters in this are wheelbarrows.
Yeah.
I mean you got the only people I really know are Loki and Thor.
Yeah.
Everybody else is
and
a wheelbarrow.
Jane.
Who's
Odin.
Jane?
Well, she's the girlfriend. Okay,
she's Nicole.
And
or Nicole Kidman?
Yeah.
Not Nicole Kidman.
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman, yeah.
Who's aging at a pretty rapid rate.
No, she looks good.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She just looks more mature.
I guess she just doesn't do it for me and never
really?
Has.
Okay.
Ever since she was like 12 years old in The Professional, I haven't felt sexually attracted to her since.
That's how I feel about Jodie Foster.
Yeah, she peaked at the taxi driver.
No. God, no. She was like 9 in that, man. It's messed up.
I know.
Robert De Niro.
Now my new thing's Dakota Fanning.
Dakota Fanning.
I got
she's
a couple
like
years
12.
Of her left.
She was
right?
in, what was the movie?
Fucking Twilight. That's how we, that's
Dakota
last
Dakota Fanning
saw her.
Is in Twilight?
She was in Twilight, too. She was part of the Vampire Council.
Oh, that's right.
That's where
that
you
was
saw
terrible.
Her. Yeah, it was.
No, I'm thinking of the one with...
And, wait. We got to defend our fucking manhood. We did not fucking watch
okay.
Twilight. We watched the Riff Tracks version of Twilight.
Thank you.
Inebriated and had a ball. I recommend that for anyone.
Yeah,
get the Riff Tracks version of Twilight. The movies are so fucking bad, and they do such a good job of highlighting the badness.
Yeah. Yeah, they take everything that's bad, they pull it out, and they make it hilarious.
Terrible.
Anyway, I don't even know where we were going with this.
I don't know.
Natalie Portman was in Thor.
Yeah.
I say she still looks good for being what? She's got to be like 35 now, right?
Whatever. We want to get to the... You want to talk about...
I want to talk about
the
fantasy
I want to talk about
the
badass angle, and you want to talk about the fantasy angle, so go.
I do. I want to talk about... I want to go all the way back in Blue Yonder to episode 12.
Geek
and I want to talk about geek colorblindness. If you guys have not heard this episode, seriously go back and listen to it because it's one of our better ones. it's been
damning
like,
with faint praise.
It's been like 50 episodes since we've had a good one, but episode 12
right.
is awesome. But basically, it discusses like how I'm colorblind to certain elements or certain spectrums of the geek wavelength. I guess
right.
Genres,
kind of, but
they follow
I was
the genres
interested
mostly.
To see that this kind of spans genres. I thought fantasy. I'm talking about. I thought you meant like high fantasy, like Tolkien.
Well, this has a little bit of that, right? I mean, this is.
I guess,
it's
yeah.
not. It's not Tolkien. There are no elves. There are no gnomes. There are no things
but
like that.
It's completely foreign names, foreign cultures, and concepts.
Yeah, and I'm sure to the Danish or the Swedish or whatever the Norse people, this is not. Foreign. It doesn't
right.
seem fantasy at all.
But not just that. You said it was hard to relate to. Above and beyond the fact that the names are crazy.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. Okay. So during this entire movie, when I was watching the part where the gods are interacting and the gods are in their realm, I got no sense.
Asgard.
In Asgard. I'm wearing one
they're
right now.
Very homophobic.
I have to wear one in this room with
they're
Aaron,
they're very homophobic
actually.
And virulently racist. They're all about white power.
Well, if you're not wearing an Asgard with Aaron in the room, you're asking for it.
hey, what happens at PAX stays at PAX, fucker.
I share
How
a bed.
Dare you? How
I
dare
share
you?
A bed with this man at PAX. Well, you threw me off. You totally derailed my train of thought.
Oh, does that suck when that happens? So you got the topic you want to talk about, and I'm derailing.
Yeah. And then I'm making jokes, and you're just steamrolling them.
Yeah,
see,
right.
I don't steamroll your jokes. That's the difference.
You need to.
I need to steamroll.
Steam up.
All right. Okay, so the entire time I'm like watching these gods fight, and I'm watching these gods interact, and I'm just wondering, what are their powers, A?
Right.
How do their powers affect each other? How powerful are the things they have? Like, here's a good example. Like, say I'm watching someone hit someone else with a magical sword.
Or a hammer.
Or a hammer. Okay, mm-hmm. We'll say a hammer for the sake of this conversation.
Definitely a hammer.
I'm watching someone hammer someone mm-hmm. else. How do I know how much power is in this hammer? How do I know what the abilities of this hammer are?
What does it feel like to take a swing from the Mjolnir?
Exactly. And not only what does it feel like for me to take a swing, but what does it feel like for another god to take a swing?
Yeah, right.
From Thor? You know? Is it an instant kill?
Right.
Is it bone crushing? Is it like getting punched in the face by me, which admittedly is weak?
Right.
What does it feel like? I can't identify with that at all.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that, like, in the beginning of the movie, when they're facing off against the Frost Giants, mm-hmm. like, at first it starts off as, like, basic straight-up melee, like Thor's just punching people.
Sure.
And he starts swinging his fucking hammer.
And I don't know what a punch from Thor feels like.
Right, but then he starts swinging the hammer, and then he starts using it to, like, fling machine gun dust at people. And
sure,
then he, like,
yeah.
uses it to, like, call down thunder, and he basically destroys a whole continent with it.
Yeah.
And it's very Power Ranger-ish. Like, well, hell, if he could do that, why wouldn't he just go to the middle of the capital, destroy the continent,
everything.
And get the fuck out of there?
Yeah.
Like the Power Rangers, why don't they just automatically go to their Megazords or whatever, combine, mm-hmm. before the guy gets giant,
yeah.
and before the Doomsday Device comes, why don't they just turn into giant robot mode and crush the guy like a cockroach?
Sure.
So why doesn't Thor
that...
just do that? He has the capability.
It wouldn't make for a good movie.
And that's, yeah.
That's essentially what it boils down to. But my thing is, it's even worse in this movie than normal fantasy movies, right? Because at least with elves, I can understand that they're mortal. They can at least feel pain. I don't even know if Thor can feel pain.
Right.
Like, if he gets hit with a sword, what does it feel like to him?
Right.
He's a god. He literally cannot die.
Yeah.
Or can he? Like, I don't know. I know nothing about the capabilities or the tolerance of Thor or any of the other people in this film.
Yeah, there's a lot of superhero.
It's not just a superhero movie, because superhero movies I can identify with a little bit more. Because I can understand if you're just superhuman.
Why?
Because I can...
Thor because, is just superhuman.
Well, let's say, okay, I can take a human
mm-hmm.
and I can multiply their abilities. Like, I could say, all right, Mike Tyson could hit me this hard.
Uh-huh.
So what could a superhuman,
so
like...
If Mike Tyson hits you 100 times harder than he can hit you...
It would obliterate
me. What does that
me.
Even mean? I mean, yeah, you're chunky salsa at that point.
Sure, yeah.
So, I don't know. I kind of see your point, but on the other hand, I kind of don't, so...
But my main point is I can't put any of this into perspective. You know what I mean? It's just...
It makes it hard
totally
to identify.
Foreign
it makes it hard to identify Thor. And to the movie's credit, they play with that a lot. Because when he first comes to Earth after being banished, he's mm-hmm. full of this, how dare you assault the son of Odin?
Which is hilarious.
As he gets tasered and falls unconscious.
Yeah.
Or as a medical orderly shoots his ass full of, like, you know, a knockout agent.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So they actually have... And honestly, the movie would have sucked if they didn't have a little... poke a little fun at Thor's expense.
Absolutely,
because Thor
yeah.
is ridiculous. His comic book fucking character is ridiculous. The only reason this movie exists...
I thought
exists,
the movie would be ridiculous.
Well, and I'm about to get to that. The only reason the movie exists is to introduce the Avengers concept. And mm-hmm. so that people won't be like, who the fuck is the fruitcake with the winged helmet on when you get to the Avengers movie, right?
Yeah.
And I thought the movie was just going to suck because Thor is a ridiculous character. The fact that they made a 2-hour movie about Thor, and at no point did I say, this is goddamn ridiculous, or this is,
yeah.
this is, and nothing against homosexuals, but this is gay as hell.
Okay,
all right?
Sure.
I mean, Thor's costume, his long hair, the way he speaks.
Oh, I know plenty of gay guys who would love to wear that costume.
All fruity, yeah. Like, you could see Thor at a gay pride parade in a way that you couldn't see, like, Spider-Man.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's
like,
true.
No, like, gay guys aren't going to dress up as Spider-Man.
No, Spider-Man's not a super not, gay costume.
No, yeah.
No.
So, and he's not, like, but...
I think it's the cape that really makes it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the winged helmet. That don't hurt.
The winged helmet never hurts.
The giant phallic yeah. hammer.
Sure, sure.
So, I'm just saying that I expected it to be a disaster. Like, of all the summer movies, superhero
yeah.
movies, I thought this was going to be the dregs. And the fact is, it's a perfectly serviceable superhero movie. It's mediocre.
Is, but, and that's the thing, right? It's just mediocre. It's
entertaining.
Like,
at the whole time.
It's entertaining.
Yep.
It kept my attention the whole time for the most part. Mm. I was super tired going into this, so the stuff where it went really fantasy, like all the stuff in Asgard, I was just like, whatever.
I just thought, because I was going to do the SoCo strategy again. I was going to bring Southern my Southern Comfort. Comfort and get drunk as hell again.
Yeah.
And I left it, and it was too late because we were running late, and I couldn't go back and get it.
Like, that's probably good that you didn't.
I don't know if it's good or bad, but I actually thought, like, oh, God, I'm going to hate this movie. But I actually was kind of engaged by it.
No, I had heard good things going into it. So
I didn't believe it.
But I had no expectations. Yeah. I had zero, because I didn't even really want to see this movie.
Yeah.
It was just like, it's a superhero movie. We can talk about it on the podcast.
It might be so bad.
All my friends are going to see it. It might be so bad it's good. It might be so good that it's good.
And let me say, it got 80% fresh on
ridiculous.
Rotten Tomato. That's ridiculous.
Totally.
Fast and Furious 5 got 80% on the Rotten Tomatoes.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Do you think Rotten Tomatoes is even useful as a review site? Because here's the thing. When I go to the fucking site, mm-hmm. I see like Richard Roper, and I see Roger Ebert, and I see a couple other names I recognize, and I see 150 guys from the, you know, Rio Vista bumfuck reporter in Texas,
sure,
or the Mooresville Times giving this thing.
That's where I get all my reviews.
I mean, like, I think the signal to noise ratio, and I know they got some of their top reviewers, and supposedly they ranked more, but I think they need to really re-examine their goddamn rankings, because Fast and Furious and Thor should be 50%.
Across the board, yeah.
They're not bad.
They're mediocre.
They're not good. Fast and Furious is a, you know, I guess above average action flick, but all in all, it should be 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Like there should
be. It's not even above average for an action flick. I think it's run of the mill for an action flick.
Yeah.
Which puts it at 50%, because I think you got to take into perspective what type of movie it is. If you're rating an action film, you can't rate it based on the same rating that you rate Evita or Titanic.
No.
Like, you can't
and
do
I'm
that.
Like, they should take 10 movies from different genres every maybe quarter and say, this is our baseline movie. Mm-hmm. We want this to be 50% and massage the rankings until they do that.
And why did Evita just jump into my head? Why did I
because
say that
Because we talked
movie?
About this weekend.
No, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Evita?
Don't you remember? I sang it at the gaming table. Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Didn't that have Madonna in it?
Yeah, it did.
Nice.
And Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
So sexy.
No, I'm totally with you there. It should have been 50%.
That happened at our gaming table, by the way. We
I
had
don't
a,
remember that at
you
all.
You and Crystal and Julie and me sang Don't Cry For Me, Argentina over a game of Bezerwizard.
Bezerwizard, not a bad trivia game.
Yeah, it's an updated Trivial Pursuit game.
That's the thing. Like, trivia games, they're trivia games.
Back on topic.
Okay.
So I want to talk about the badass angle, because I got
to say.
Okay,
because I like the badass angle too.
Chris Hemsworth, he's got to have serious badass consideration.
Holy shit.
That
like,
fucker,
just his physical stature.
I mean,
alone.
I looked him up, because Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dirty Secret, he's like 5'10".
He's barely taller than me.
Yeah.
He's
jacked. He would rip your arms out of socket.
Oh, God. He's like Chewbacca to me.
Right.
I mean, he could just rip my... Yeah.
But he's not... I mean, like, in the movies, he looks like 6'3", 6'4". Like, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, is a legitimate 6'4-foot motherfucker.
And he's huge.
He is huge. Chris Hemsworth is, I've heard, like 6'2", 6'3", which in Hollywood's got to be at least 6 foot. Like,
sure. Yeah.
So he's...
Because you always exaggerate.
I gotta say, he's got some serious badass credential, man.
And it's not just his height, right? Like, he... going from Star Trek, apparently he's Kirk's dad in Star Trek,
yeah,
is
he
what
is.
You said?
Yes, he is.
He did not seem ripped, and he did not seem massively bulked, because in this movie he is a freaking monster. He's huge.
Oh, yeah.
And hot as hell. I was reading up a little bit, because, like, I work out a little bit. I like to... try to stay in shape.
We're secretly gay for badasses.
Well, yeah, you have to be to talk about them as much as we do, right?
Yes, it's kind of, I'm, yeah.
Mm. Whatever.
I'm secure.
Who cares?
I sleep with a woman at night.
So did I at one point.
Like
five years ago.
5 out of 7 nights I sleep with a woman.
Yeah.
The other two?
Asleep with a man.
Yeah, or like a man in a raccoon costume.
Okay, with a cape.
With a cape. And a hammer.
But I was reading up on his workout and diet routine.
I did too.
And oh, you're so gay.
I'm gay for Chris Hemsworth. I want him
and
The Rock.
He's a good-looking man.
I want
wrong?
Him and The Rock to remake, like, fucking Tango and Cash.
What?
Yeah.
Tango, how about, what is it? Hooch. Turner and Hooch. Yeah.
Oh, how about
Chris
the Demolition
Hemsworth
Man?
Turner, and then Arnold Schwarzenegger could be Hooch.
I want Demolition Man remade with Chris Hemsworth in the Stallone role and The Rock in the Wesley Snipes role.
Demolition
fucking
Man.
Fucking A.
Demolition Man 2 as a prequel.
Ooh.
How about that?
More Demolition Man 2, Demolition Harder.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, he put on like 20 pounds for this movie.
And he was like an Australian soap opera actor, so he was reasonably cut and in shape.
But really? See, I didn't see any of that in Star Trek. But you said it was all hidden under the Starfleet uniform.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying
like,
he
was like...
for all like,
you're concerned, Wesley Crusher could have been ripped under that Starfleet uniform.
No. But like...
Picard... A statuesque
we
ought to Roman
watch,
god.
I've got the movie in Blu-ray. We ought to just check it out and see. We ought to look at like how cut he... God, this sounds so gay.
Dude, it's not gay if you're talking about it on a podcast.
Is that what it is?
That's the rule.
Yeah.
I'm sure the personal arrogance guys have done this.
Just because we touched tongues before the podcast
Chicago
started.
Chicago style.
Yeah.
Touch like, wieners.
You know,
you're good.
That's how we make the podcast official.
Yeah. That's how we start every podcast.
I think he's got serious badass credentials.
I do too.
And he's
if
got,
he does a badass role.
And he's a three-tool badass. He's got the physique. Mm-hmm. He's got the charisma. He's got the character. I mean,
I got to say, he does have charisma.
And he's got some acting chops. The 4C chops. I mean, that scene at the beginning of Star Trek was reasonably powerful.
You're saying he's a 4C badass.
Possibly. He could, a
because
badass
Arnold definitely doesn't have those chops. I would almost say Rocky.
Yeah.
Stallone. Rocky.
See,
Stallone has those chops.
And that's why we had the plus system. The account for the fact that like that Rocky has some chops where Arnold doesn't. But his plus comes from his fucking...
His physique.
His gun show.
He is Mr. Universe.
Austrian oak.
Okay. Austrian
That's
oak.
His nickname.
I don't want to know how you know he's the Austrian oak.
Because I sleep with this Wikipedia article underneath my pillow every night.
Anyway, we are not even through the bullshit segment. Do you realize?
Yeah. So, like, I think he's got some badass...
I think when
we get around there launching BadassHQ.com,
which
we own the rights to...
You need to fucking do.
He's going
to
be on the ranking. And he's going to be solid consideration for 2C Badass.
At least a 2C. What's the third C?
He's charismatic as hell.
He's funny.
He made Natalie Portman believably like a giggling schoolgirl.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she was smitten with that motherfucker.
And the constant...
I believe she was smitten with that motherfucker.
I was thinking, why couldn't this have been the romance in Star Wars, you know? Like, even...
Oh, no kidding.
This wasn't a great romance, but it wasn't nearly as bad as the romance between her and Christian...
That's because Kenneth Branagh, the director, was not directing Natalie Portman to talk like this all the time.
To be monotone and boring.
To be slower.
And useless.
To be slower and less intense. Yeah. That's why.
Happier and with your mouth open.
Seriously, man. George Lucas.
I hear that's the only direction she got in this movie, is happier than Star Wars and with your mouth
open. With her mouth open. Oh, yeah, she did. Speaking of badass potentials, Expendable 2.
Oh,
Stop and just drop that shit on our forums.
It's confirmed, right? They got the posters out.
Yeah. So it's like, again, Stallone, if you're listening to this cast, and you probably
and
are.
And he is. Let's face it.
He Googles for his name every fucking day.
Let's put his name in every podcast we do.
Okay. Nobody talks more. Nobody reveres badassery more than us. I'm convinced.
Bill Simmons
approaches us, but we are...
See, but Bill Simmons talks about...
Other stuff. He dilutes
other
it.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
So, if you're listening to this cast, just don't pull the punches, man.
Don't pull them.
You were so close to greatness on Expendables. Expendables 2, it needs to be an Empire Strikes Back of badassery.
And you need to get the real heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Like, you've got Arnold now, who is not Governator anymore.
And he's divorced.
He's divorced. All he has to do is work out.
Hell yeah.
And diet. Like, that's all he's got to do. And he's back in tip-top form.
And get Vin Diesel...
Get Bruce Willis on board for an extended role.
Get Mickey Rourke out of that fucking tattoo parlor and get him out on the field, man.
Yeah. Get Bruce Willis in a talking role.
Yeah.
In some sort of speaking role where he can have more than 2 minutes in the movie.
Right.
And it's solid gold. I don't care what movie you put Bruce Willis in, as long as he's speaking and he's saying, go fuck yourself.
And the other key to greatness is, like in Predators, you need to kill the badasses off. So that the last standing are fucking badass. And, and I'm thinking Jet Li, kill the fucker off.
Yeah, because he's not nearly as much of a badass.
Dolph Lundgren, kill the motherfucker off.
Yeah, you can kill Dolph Lundgren. You'll probably kill Terry Crews, actually.
Nah, because he's the next generation.
Yeah, that's
I'm saying one of the big three's got to go down.
I think
Arnold or Bruce or Stallone's got to go down.
I think the dude from Thor could be part of the next generation of badass. If he does the right movies coming after
And he keeps this the bulk up, sure.
Yeah. He's keeping the bulk up
and
for
Vin
Avengers.
Kill Vin Diesel. Because he's on the back end of his career, let's face it. And he's 5'7", 5'8", at most.
And you got to do camera tricks with him to make him look badass.
Yeah, we talked about that. Like the fact that
in our bonus cast,
dude's standing on milk crates when he's standing next to the Rock every single scene.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else we got to talk
about? I'm done with the bullshit.
I got a lot more bullshit, but we need to get to the meat.
Let's save it for next week.
What about the gaming roundup, man?
We've been playing
so many board games.
We have, but I don't know
Pandemic,
if we have time.
Pandemic, Battlefield 2018, Bang.
Do we have anything that's time sensitive?
I want to say one thing, because I want to get more local.
I'll give you one thing to say.
Go to meetup.com, search for board games.
Because this is really my podcast to talk about. We're going to have a power struggle right here on the show.
There's a Fisher's board game.
Fisher's Price.
Meetup, and they're actually a really cool group.
Yeah, they play really cool with Blockus. And they play Legos.
No, man. I played Bang for the first time as a country. It's a spaghetti western, like.
Oh, cool.
Like werewolf esque, where, like, okay, so you deal everyone a role, and you could be a desperado, a renegade, the deputy, or the sheriff. Only one role is public, the sheriff.
So we don't know who the other people
are. Like, the desperados want to kill the sheriff. The deputy wants to keep the sheriff alive. The renegade wants to kill everyone. And that's your win conditions.
That bastard renegade.
And it's super fun and pretty fast-paced.
Interesting.
I'd like to see some of our Indiana listeners there because it meets at a really good location, Pinheads and Fishers. It's a bowling alley.
Okay.
Well, it's got, like, a really huge lounge that no one was at this time of day.
Yeah.
And these guys are cool. Like, I was out of it because I pulled a couple of late nighters.
And he had a bottle of SoCo.
And I had a bottle of SoCo like I do every day.
Yeah.
I racked up like a $20 bar tab.
And then you cut out.
I just up and left, said bye to everybody. It's been great. And I left.
You bastard.
One of these dudes picked up the bar tab for me. That was cool.
You got to pick up his tab next week.
Hell, I already told him I'm going to pay him back and I'm going to, and he drinks for free next meet.
And tell him about this podcast because he's got to know that he's got a drink coming up so he can prepare. He cannot drink for the days going up to it.
Faux show.
And then he can drink the shit out of your wallet. Right? That day, he's going to
drink
the shit out of you.
He can try.
He can do it. I have faith in that guy. I don't even know him.
I got a Discover card with an $8,500 limit.
I don't think
he could drink.
No, shit. I didn't even drink that.
He can drink his way to the emergency room, not to the bottom of my wallet. So there you go.
I feel like we should talk about some.
There you go, Josh from the Fishers Meetup Group. A challenge: drink me out of my wallet. Drink to the bottom of my wallet.
I feel like we should talk about a couple of these games, right? Because you've been playing Battle for Hill 218.
Let's talk about next week because we do have a shitload.
Really?
Of stuff
okay, because I haven't played it yet. And
I will
like
say
to play it
it's $10. It's a two-player game. It seems to be deep as hell. It
takes like 10-15 minutes.
It takes 10-15 minutes to play each round. There's a free. I'm going to post this on the podcast. There's a free version that you can play online with yourself or other people. Free, no strings attached.
Yeah.
And like it's the size of a deck of cards, so it's like it's going to be the perfect PAX game, I think.
Cool.
Like, you know, if we're waiting for the fucking
when you're in line,
personal arrogance guys waiting for them to show up for the Arkham Horror event, we can just, like, be playing Hill 218.
Yeah, awesome.
We don't give a fuck, man. Show up for 30 minutes late.
Okay. Speaking of, like, online games, there's actually a version of Dominion that's online that you can play interactive with other people.
Yeah, we've been talking about Dominion a lot. Do you want me to post a link to that, too?
I've actually got the URL here. I was just going to say dominion.isotropic.org. That's it. Just go there.
Spell it with a U.
With a U.
An E.
You might spell it with a U.
An O.
A-E-I-O-U.
Isotropic.
God, you derailed the podcast once again.
I'll post the link, Jesus.
All right, post the link because it's really cool. You can play it with images or without images. I played it without.
Mm.
So you just like.
Mm-hmm. Did you get the. Because I actually tried to start a base solitaire game and it kept on throwing all the expansions in.
No, there's a thing at the bottom. If you select like set equals something, like set equals base.
I did that. Did you create a user account? I think that's a deal.
No.
Really? Damn. I must have just fucked up then.
Yeah, no, there's a thing at the top that says, like, prefer a certain set.
Uh-huh.
And it'll heavily weight the cards towards that. But there's a thing at the bottom that says only do set equal face.
I only saw the preferred.
Yeah, see, you got to go to the bottom.
But wait, bullshit, because I yet to see a base card, man. It was all expansion.
Well, I did it, and it was base set every time. So.
All right.
Anyway. Are we ready to go to the meat?
Meat.
Because we got like 140 minutes here.
Meat, motherfucker, do you speak it?
I do speak
it. Yeah, we're 38 minutes into cast, no meat.
Right, right.
So it's time to cut that meat.
We can't make this show all bullshit.
Come on, Peyton.
Okay, robot cars. Robot cars.
I like it.
Google.
I have a robot car. That's what my son believes.
Oh, the Transformer sticker on the back.
Yeah. The great thing about kids is they'll believe anything that they naturally want to believe.
What does your car turn into?
I've shown him pictures of it. I actually found like an SUV firefight, because there was a firefighting robot. I forget what it was called. It was called like it might have been Blaze. No, it wasn't Blazer, but it was something like it might have been Inferno. But he was like an SUV that turned into a robot, and I showed him a picture
of
it. I got a Gen Con last year. I got an Autobot sticker, like a sizable, really good quality Autobot sticker, and a little bumper sticker that says "Caution: Vehicle transforms into robot."
Yeah,
I put those on my Blazer. And my son actually believes that my car transforms into a robot called Blazer.
That's awesome.
He speaks of it like he says goodnight to Blazer. Like when we're going in from the garage after, he'll say goodnight, Blazer. Sleeps in the garage.
That's got to be the coolest thing for a kid.
And I'm like, he's like, why doesn't he transform? I was like, because there's no bad guys around. He's in disguise.
Yeah.
It's like, if we ever saw Decepticon, he'd like fucking transform and kick its ass right now.
Yeah.
And the other thing
is like the beauty of the Santa Claus myth is that you're never supposed to see Santa Claus.
Right.
So you're never supposed to see a Decepticon, which means you never see it transform.
The other thing is I told him that he can drive by himself, and he's like, I don't believe you. So I put
my hands in there.
I drove with my knees.
Yes, you do.
He honestly thinks Blaze. And here's the other thing. My motorcycle, Bandit, the Suzuki Bandit,
has
a giant Decepticon logo on it.
Yeah.
In the back. Mm-hmm. He thinks it's a bad guy.
Oh, no.
That we've, like, converted into a good guy.
Oh, okay.
That, like, him and Blazer fought, and Blazer, like, pounded him into submission.
Sure, because Blazer's bigger.
And, like, because I took Jack for a motorcycle ride for the first time just around our edition. Uh-huh. And he was the whole time, like, I cracked the throttle open a little bit, and he'd be like, whoa, Bandit, take it easy. Whoa, and, like, it's so cool.
Awesome.
That's the great thing about kids is they'll believe anything you tell them.
Yeah, no,
the bad thing about them too, because they're so easily exploited.
Sure,
but
get
know.
In the van. I've got some candy.
It's a Transformer van, kid.
Anyway, okay. So, can we do some meat?
Meat?
Can we please get some meat?
We
into
were
in cast.
Meat. Robot cars. I'm on topic, motherfucker.
Can we do a hot meat injection here?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Flavor injector.
All right, so Google has been working for the last couple years on robot cars. Like, no joke. Cars that drive themselves.
Like out of the...
The Kit. Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking the Will Smith movie, I, Robot.
Do cars drive themselves?
Yeah, they do.
Whatever.
But you can take
Kit is way more famous.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You're thinking in abstract terms here. I was reading an article on the New York Times where Google has been working on this for multiple years. Now they're lobbying Nevada to be the first state to implement, like, laws that will allow robot cars to drive on the actual roads.
It's a good plan to pick a state that's 95% empty desert wasteland to pilot
so you kill
your
less
first,
people. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, sure, sure. But they've been testing these things. Like, that's the thing. They've put in over 1,000 miles of automated driving on US 1
yeah,
in California.
I know.
Over 1,000 hours. You could be driving, if you're in California, next to a totally automated Google robot car.
How do they do that? Because they got to have someone there with their hands on the wheel ready to take over.
Here's the thing. They've got somebody sitting behind the wheel. They've also got someone in the passenger seat monitoring the robot as it drives, mm-hmm. making sure all the software is in place, making sure it's operating correctly. And if anything goes wrong, the guy grabs the wheel.
That robot's got nerves of steel, like ice water, because like when someone's sitting over my shoulder
I imagine
at,
all
like,
robots
watching
do.
Me type, I like lose my shit, man.
Sure, you're typing like 30 words a minute.
Oh, yeah, make mistakes.
Yeah.
That robot's amazing.
But this funny thing is they're also at the same time introducing legislation that would allow you to text while behind the wheel. So if your robot is driving, you can also text. Like, that's, I want to talk about, like, the implications, or, well, first of all, let's say, do you think this is a good or a bad idea? Robot cars.
I think it's a great idea.
Personally, because, I think it's a fantastic idea.
Like, you'd have to make some infrastructure investments, but I think, I mean, god damn, you see so much shitty driving.
Sure you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I want robots to drive for us. Yeah, I do.
Well, the part of the article was wondering how people would react to robot cars and the way that they drive. Like, would a robot car annoy you to the point where you would want to take control, where you would be pissed off?
Probably.
Like, this car is driving too slow. This car is letting assholes in front of me. Because you know this is going to be, like, phased in, right?
Well, like,
everyone is going to have a robot car immediately.
Yeah, and I remember when we were in a traffic jam, you were, like, in sins that I was letting people cut in. And I'm like, look, if I open up a lot of space in front of me, it actually improves the traffic flow. I'm like, fucker! Cut him off! You know?
Sure.
But I think, see, here's how I would like a perfect future. If
the perfect future,
a perfect
as
future
administered
robot cars,
by A. Ron Hubbard.
And that means it's perfect for everybody.
Oh, perfect for me, sure.
Yeah, I see all angles. I consider all effects.
Yeah, you're like the watcher.
I would
Thor.
Want something to, like, if you are, like, more than a half mile away,
or
determined by radar from another vehicle, or maybe they got all GPS.
A half
that
mile away?
You can do whatever the fuck you want. You
oh,
go
okay.
as fast
okay.
as you want, do all that. But that if you're within a quarter mile... That the thing clamps down and says
what
you
do you
can't.
Mean, what do you mean clamps down?
Like monitors your speed, monitors your won't let you tailgate, won't let you make a unsafe maneuver. I imagine like a fly-by wire, like pilots do now. Like if a pilot just all of a sudden cranks over maximum turn ratio, and the aircraft says, "If I do this, I'll stall."
Yeah,
it won't. It, like he can crank the wheel as much as he want, but the
is that true?
Yeah. That's what fly-by-wire means. The pilot puts input into the computer.
And
the computer decides,
register.
I'm going to do as much as he wants to do within the parameters of my airframe.
Wow.
And then, yeah.
See, that could be dangerous, too.
Well, and that's a lot of pilots say that because they're like, well, sometimes we got to do dangerous
maneuvers. Yeah, sometimes you get a fucking tornado materialize out of nowhere in front of you. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but 99.9% time of the
sure,
time.
Sure, sure, sure.
The fact that there's physical limitations to what the airframe can and can't do, and the computer can do that much better than the human.
Well,
so if the human says maximum turn, the computer's going to say, I'm going to turn as much as this airframe can do without destroying itself.
Or if, let's say, I'm going down a highway, and I all of a sudden say, maximum turn, car, it's not going to let me stroll out of my lane.
Right.
And especially, it shouldn't.
I mean, in a perfect system, it would be aware that there's something in front of you. So, like, if there's a car
or something
stopped,
to the side of you,
it would let
or...
you go into the ditch or something like that.
But, I don't think it should ever let me go into the ditch.
Well, what if it's between
I think it should keep me in the lane unless
right.
I specifically put it into, like, lane change mode.
Right, right.
Or if it registers that I'm coming up towards my destination and I need to change lanes.
Or if, like...
I'm thinking total automation. I'm thinking I step in my car, I say, computer, work.
Yeah.
And it just
I
goes.
I agree. But I also think, like, say you got to take a piss real bad. If you start turning towards an exit, the computer should know that, okay, he wants exit and go to the exit.
See, I think...
And then recalculate from there.
I think if we can program a car to drive itself, we can program a car to know when I got to piss.
I see Picard saying, computer, piss now.
Computer, piss! No.
Hot.
No, I think it would just know. Earl Grey, hot, piss. okay, so that dovetails into my next question. Would you feel safe in a robot car? And at what stage would you feel safe?
I almost would feel like, okay, here's the thing. If everyone had robot cars, I would feel safe. Transition period scares the shit out of me.
It does. It really does for me, too.
Like, if I got, like, 10% of the cars are obeying traffic laws and stuff like that, and I got some asshole...
You got a dude in a Corvette, a 1970s
or
Stingray.
Or some riced-out 80s Civic, and he's cutting in and out because he's watched Fast and Furious 5.
Yeah, he just got out of the movie.
That is what makes me nervous.
Sure.
And the other thing is, as a motorcyclist, we are a damn sight away from me feeling comfortable with a computer taking controls of my motorcycle.
Oh, I couldn't imagine a computer taking control of a motorcycle.
I can't either.
Because it's not inherently stable, you know?
And the other thing is, it's a whole other experience riding a motorcycle. Like,
what if you lean to a degree when it's trying to make a turn in a different direction? Like, what happens?
I don't know. I mean,
will it compensate? I assume it's
I hear so many dumbass motorcyclists say, I was going to get in a wreck and I had to lay her down.
Lay her down. My dad had to lay her down.
I was going to lay her down. It's like, look, motherfucker. The friction coefficient between rubber and asphalt are much higher than steel and asphalt or flesh and asphalt. When you lay your bike down, you are enacting the friction coefficient of steel and flesh against asphalt, not rubber.
Well, here's the thing. Like, let's say...
So I want to hear a guy say, I applied max braking force until I hit the fucking thing.
I applied max braking force until I hit the thing.
It doesn't sound as cool, but it's the way you should do.
Had to lay her down. My dad had to lay her down one time under a semi, apparently. But this is my dad, so who knows if it really happened.
And, okay, semi, that's one thing where you could lay down.
You could
James
slide it
Bond
underneath.
Style.
Yes, James Bond style.
Pop up on the other end and keep on going.
For sure.
Enjoy that boom strike I just gave you, audience. There's another one.
Mine doesn't do that. So you would feel safe in a robot car, not necessarily in a robot motorcycle.
I want to be able to read.
But after the transition period. Well, I'm getting to that. Yeah. Let's just save that for a second. Because... I want to like transition this. Would you feel safe into what? Who's liable in the event of an accident?
Toyota, like, obviously.
Or would it be Google for programming the car in a certain way that got you into an accident? Like who? It wouldn't be the manufacturer, right? It would be the software provider.
It's impossible to say because the legal system in America is fucking crazy.
Well,
we should ask that.
Let's think it out logically.
When we interview Ian next week.
Let's ask him about robot cars.
We should ask him about robot cars.
I don't know if he will.
Oh, he'll have an opinion.
Okay. I'm sure he will, yeah. This guy is a guy who went to PAX with us. We should probably hype that right now, right?
Because let's hype it at the end.
Hype it at the end. Okay. Stay tuned to the end, audience.
Yeah.
Because we've got some hype to do.
Anyone inclined to turn off the cast has turned off the cast somewhere between us being, totally homoerotic about Chris Hemsworth.
No, dude, that's why we have listeners, because we're homoerotic. That's the only, our audience is 95% gay.
If you like bears, you like Aaron, that's all I'm saying. If you like kind of pudgy, tall, hairy guys, then that's,
Okay, anyway.
Uh-huh.
Let's move into, the implications of robot cars.
Okay.
Like, what are the applications here? Like, let's say robot cars are 100% infallible. They work every time. What happens?
I would get a shitload more reading done.
Exactly. Like, you step into your car, and here's a question I had.
That's dead time.
Does it lead to increased productivity where people are doing more stuff while they're driving to work, or does it lead to, a happier society, like a more, I don't know how to say it, but a happier driving populace.
I think it's going to lead to safer blowjobs while under motion. I think it's going to lead
road
to
road jobs or
I think it's going to lead to people doing, you know, because people do shit like shave, do makeup. Pets.
Already.
It's actually frightening when you see a person go down the road at 70 miles an hour and they're looking down texting. And
I don't text, but I change songs on my iPod.
I've texted like a brief text, or something like that. But I try not to, especially when I got my son in the car, try not to text while I'm driving. I think that it'll lead to that. I think that there'll be people that, you know, have an IT type job or an office type of job where they can send emails and respond to that. And I also think it'll lead to, because in absence of doing all that stuff, I'm going to be reading my Kindle or I'm going to be watching an episode of The Wire on my BlackBerry.
Well, here's my prediction. I mean, once cars go totally robotic, who's to say you don't have a Kindle built right into your car? Or a holographic display with, or maybe it'll read. It doesn't even have to read you at that point because you can look at it.
Right.
I think in productivity will be increased dramatically because literally I can work while I'm in my car. I'm thinking like Minority Report.
When you're driving
here.
Your car, you are. All you are is a guidance system from that car.
So yeah.
Anytime you reclaim from that is automatically more productive.
You become the GPS.
Exactly.
And your car becomes you.
Right.
Your car is controlling the direction and you're just telling it where to go.
Which that's interesting because they've done a lot of studies about how that car controls become an extension of your body.
And they really do. They feel very natural.
They do. Like after a while, that you, the same way that people can master prosthetics.
Yeah.
That those same things become like kind of second nature. That your reflexes, after you've driven a car for a couple of years, like you almost have reflex things. Like something, you see brake lights in front of you, you swerve or brake.
Well, here's the thing.
Even before your conscious mind tells you to.
The other day.
It's muscle memory is what I'm trying to say.
I was driving around a roundabout. I took it a little too fast. It was raining. It was wet. And my back tires kicked out.
Uh-huh.
For the first time ever.
Right.
But in that split second, I realized exactly what I needed to do. I steered into the slip.
Right.
And I just put my car back on course. And I did it without thinking.
Which I think that's rad whenever you get to muscle memory level of control over something.
Yeah.
Like in martial arts or in sports, you always get like in the zone. So anyway.
You don't even have to think about it. It's just a reaction. So the other implications of this, I think it would be interesting to see what happens to, like, the shipping industry, because you could have semis, you could have UPS trucks, you could have taxis that drive themselves.
Yeah.
What happens to all the people who are driving taxis right now, who come to this country,
they start making
mostly
iPads.
Foreigners, they start making iPads. No, because that's sending jobs overseas, man.
China.
But what happens to all those people who have jobs in the driving industry? I mean, semi drivers, they're out of work. Everyone has this vision of robots are eventually going to make it so that no one has to work, right?
Well, I mean, like, 'cause we had this intellectual difference with our frenemies over at Personal Arrogance, where they think the AI singularity is fiction.
Well, they're fucking wrong.
And we think it's inevitable. And robotics is the same way. I mean, there's very few jobs you can say only a human can do.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, they've got robots that can play soccer, robots
that can dance. If you extrapolate 100 years of technological innovation, it is exciting and afraid at the same time. I mean, you could go to Star Trek Utopia, where basically free energy in the form of fusion and robotics has made it to where people can do whatever the fuck they want. There's no concept of money anymore.
But
go to like the Matrix, where the freaking things enslave us and destroy us.
Well, I feel like if it goes the Star Trek route, we have to have a society that adapts to that. Because currently we have a society where everyone must have a profit-earning job, right? Everyone must play this role in society where they contribute something.
Except we don't. We have a large part of our, not a large, but a sizable minority of our society
12%.
That does nothing but leech.
Sure, whatever. But robots, at some point, the vision has always been robots will make work, make forced labor obsolete.
Yeah, right.
Right? We want to do things like create beautiful works of art, and we want to enrich our culture, but not have to actually do any manual labor.
Right.
We want the robots to do that. So is this a step in that direction? Like, what happens to the people who are driving taxis currently, driving semis?
I don't know. If I can read my Kindle, I could give a fuck.
As long as you can read your Kindle in your car on your hour drive to work.
I see that this is going to introduce to our system so slow. And a lot of people like driving. Like, I can see myself.
I don't enjoy driving.
I do.
Every once in a while.
But I can see that there's a lot of people that are going to resist. This is going to be such a slow integration to society.
Sure.
That, you know, I mean, people could go and get flowy haircuts.
I did at one point.
But they don't. But people in general don't, because they like paying the personal touch.
And they like having their hair look good.
Well, but I mean, like, you could, like,
the flowy doesn't do a great job.
You could argue that someone could make a device that could paint toenails perfectly.
If I want my hair to look like a highly manicured lawn, I'll go for the flowy.
I'm just saying one could argue that right now the majority of men could get their hair cut by a robot and have the same fucking results as having it cut by a person. And most women could have their toenails painted
by
a robot that has... That's what I'm saying.
I like talking... Yeah, I like talking to the girl. I like...
So this isn't going to be like you wake up overnight and... like, or even like cell phones, where like 10 years ago, people didn't have them, and then 10 years later, everyone had them.
Yeah.
It's going to be something that's very gradual, and those people that have jobs displaced will find other work, just like we talked about in the iPodcast.
Yeah.
Or the iPad cast, the bullshit segment about Jesse Jackson Jr.
Sure.
From a couple episodes ago. But I mean, eventually this is going to catch up to where, like, powerful AI and robotics is going to put a lot of people out of work, and what that does to the consumer and to the employee and to the citizen, who the fuck knows? We literally don't know. It'd be like
here's the
ultimate exploitable labor.
We've had 100 years now, right? Roughly 100 years of the Industrial Revolution. It's it's okay. It's like 70. It's like 80. Whatever.
More than that. Jesse's probably pissing blood.
Yeah, right, he's a historian. Right. Whatever. Fuck you.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, it's like the 1940s.
Says Eli Whitney made the cotton and gin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it hasn't made it so that people don't have to work. You know, that was the vision.
But it
has
destroyed a lot of jobs.
It's destroyed a lot of jobs, and it's created a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if we'll ever get to the point where, like, I assume during singularity mode, no one will have to work because the robots will either kill us or do everything for
right,
us.
Right, sure.
But does it get to a point where we can automate enough systems? This really doesn't have to do with the robot cars thing, but it kind of dovetails into that. Will it get to the point where we have enough automated systems where humans don't have to work, they can create art, they can do the things that are uniquely human?
Sure. I don't know, because I don't have to work to be fulfilled.
I have to do work. I have to do something, but I don't have to do what I currently do.
I don't have to generate profit.
Exactly.
Right now, I have to generate profit to keep my job.
Yeah.
Like, I could race on my motorcycle, I could podcast, I could play video games, I could create art, I could do whatever.
Sure, sure.
And but there's a sizable proportion of our population that, like, you know, a lot of guys are my granddad's generation and my dad's generation don't know what the fuck to do with themselves after they retire. And I don't know if that's...
We'll be podcasting, man.
You know,
75.
I wish we could release the nursing home episode because this speaks to a lot
bad.
Of it. No, I know.
So bad.
I know, but it speaks to a lot of my personal philosophy about this.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sure, sure, sure.
Robot cars. I think they're awesome. I've got one in my garage.
I'm done with them. I think they're fantastic. I'm waiting for them to actually hit the mass market, and I will be the first on board.
Okay. My meaty topic is Roger Ebert, who I love.
I also adore him.
If you haven't kept up with his personal life, he suffered a severe bout of salivary gland cancer. He lost his entire jaw and the salivary glands, and he basically he has no jaw and, like, tongue, and
he definitely
his vocal cords don't
eat.
Work. He's kind of, he can't eat, he can't really get around much, and he's getting old. For the past few years, he's been fed through a tube in his stomach. It literally is something that bores through his stomach wall and is inside his stomach, and they just inject food into him.
It's in through his belly button, right?
No, they just made a new hole.
Did they?
And his latest blog...
I could have sworn he said it was through his...
I don't think so.
His navel regions.
Whatever. If they use a pre-existing hole or whatever.
Okay.
So he talked... Because I've been reading his blog for as long as he's been doing it. And he's really eloquent. He talks a lot about evolution and creation, religion, and
hated
culture.
Hated Thor.
He really hated Thor.
Yeah. Really, we should have talked about that a little bit.
But even as recent as 3 years ago, he talked about how he misses the act of eating.
Yeah.
That even though... Like, he feels hungry all the time, and he misses, like, a steak and shake, and he misses a chocolate milkshake, and he misses, like, a coffee, like, the taste of coffee.
A Waffle House.
And he could smell, like, but he couldn't ever taste it, and it was like, hell.
4 a.m. Denny's.
And he just mentioned in his latest latest, look, fucker, derail master, he mentioned in his latest podcast. Blog.
He's podcasting now. It's amazing with
it
his
sounds,
disability.
Him and, oh, Jesus.
Don't do it. Don't go there, man.
Yeah, I want
I know
to.
Where you're going. Don't do it.
Him and Stephen Hawking's podcast sound identical.
You're horrible.
Anyway, in his latest blog, he says that he no longer gets hungry. 3 years into this experience, he no longer feels the physical sensation of hunger. It's gone away.
Really?
And what I think is interesting about talking about the singularity, because we've talked about that in the podcast we did on
Mopey.
The Metamorphosis of Prime Intellect, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The novella. that you can find on Corrosion. Google for Metamorphosis Prime Inflict.
Or go to our forums and sign up for the bonus material, which is fantastic, by
the
way.
Yeah, that's a really good one. One of the things I kind of had a hard time wrapping my mind around was that humans wouldn't accept the new reality of having non-corporeal bodies, non-physical bodies, that they would miss things like sex and food and smells, and that they would be able to detect the difference between the real Earth and a physical bit copy of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is pretty damning evidence that the human conscious can adapt to damn near ever anything. Because he has gotten over the sensation of, like, he says he'll go for, like, a whole day, and unless someone reminds him or his nurse comes in and injects it, he is not aware that he hasn't eaten.
Huh.
So, like, if you can get over something as fundamental as hunger pains and thirst sensation, what the hell can't you get over? I mean, I'm going to go on a limb and say that Roger Ebert hasn't had sex for years. So, like...
Shame on you. I'm sure he had sex the other day.
Think about what, like, we've always thought that, like, if you were stuck in a computer system, you might just go crazy.
Sure.
Why? Like, if you were in, like, a robotic form that could travel the stars, why would that be, why could you not accept that? If you can accept a tube that bypasses your entire digestive system, except for the parts that you're not consciously aware of, and your body just adapts to it and says, okay, well, I'm not going to get hungry anymore. I'm not going to, when I smell something good, I'm not going to salivate anymore. I'm not going to crave foods. Because he used to have, like, weird things, like, he would make requests from his nurses, like, I need you to go get this specific brand of orange juice.
And blend it up, like, blend up my food, and put it into this pouch.
I'd plan out my meals, and then you put this in my pouch and feed it to me.
Yeah, and he couldn't taste it.
And he would pretend, like, as he was eating, he'd pretend, and he would still, like, drool, and, like, he'd have the sensations and the smells.
Yeah.
And now, 3 years later, it's almost like hearing from a different person.
Huh.
So, like, I know people can adapt to not being able to walk, not being able to touch, not be able to hear, not to be able to see, not to be able to taste. I mean, what can't the human body adapt to? Why couldn't we just live in some sort of matrix? Why couldn't we live in some abstract thing? As long as we had some sort of stimulus. Because he lives through his blog and the internet and movies.
Yeah.
As long as you have some sort of stimulus, why couldn't, what form of humanity couldn't you accept? And I think this has a lot of implications about, like, transhumanism and posthumanism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we lived in immortal robot bodies, we don't need them to touch and smell and feel and all that stuff. We just need to be able to take in new inputs. I hope you have something to say about that, or else it's going to be a very short meat subject.
And that's it for episode 63.
Initiate feedback sequence now.
I think you're definitely right. I think we don't give the human psyche and the human body enough credit as to what it can adapt to. I mean, you hear things like the phantom limb pains of people who have lost arms, lost legs. And you're like, well, the human body just expects there to be some natural order.
Right.
But I think cases like Roger Ebert's and cases like many other people who have been through similar things show that we can adapt. We're great at adapting. That's what humans do. And I think we could definitely adapt to a world or a simulation or whatever where we're not even almost human at that point. We don't need the same stimulus that humans need.
Well, what is that? Because this is something that strikes at the heart of Mopey. What does it mean to be human?
That's a really good question.
What is it? So, like if Roger Ebert, he doesn't eat, he doesn't have sex anymore, he can't really walk around. All he is, and he can't communicate other than, like, if we didn't have the internet, he wouldn't be able to communicate at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still human? Yes. No one would argue that he's not. What makes him human?
That's a really good question, and I don't know.
I mean, there's got to be, and I think that, like, because I remember...
Is it his physical
form? I read this Tom Clancy book called The Cardinal and the Kremlin, and part of the plot of that book was that the Soviet Union had this torture technique where it was absolute sensory deprivation. So they would kidnap you and drug you and put you in this special, like, wetsuit. That was very stiff, but in a pliable way, so that, like, if you resist against it, it wouldn't even feel like you were resisting. And they would suspend you in a neutrally buoyant fluid that was heated to 98.6 degrees, uh-huh. and you would have a you'd be fed food and oxygen through a tube, and there would be a two divers in there to make sure that you would not bump up against the sides of the tank, and that you were centered at all times, and you wouldn't get tangled in.
Well, what happens if they touch you?
Well, that's the thing. They weren't allowed. They couldn't like touch you and stuff. They would use, and the suit kind of insulated you from touch. And you couldn't hear anything, and you couldn't smell anything, and that, and I don't know how true this is, because that's the thing about Tom Clancy, is he blends a lot of science and fact, but you never could tell where the fiction begins. But he put it to where that in test subjects, no one lasted more than 20 hours before caving in completely, like in being completely broken.
See, I've heard that about sensory deprivation as it exists right now.
Well, I've heard that,
I've heard that you can't do more than a few hours in sensory deprivation, or you start to go crazy.
And even that gives you similar, like, symptoms to having high doses of LSD.
Yeah. Yeah, you hallucinate, you... Yeah.
So I wonder if being human is just basically inputs into your brain. Like in absence of inputs into your brain,
okay,
into your consciousness, whatever that construct is, that like as long as you have, you're able to process inputs into your brain, that you're still human.
But how many? Let's say how many of those can you take away before you no longer feel human?
For all instance, of them.
Roger Ebert has taken away his sense of taste, I assume.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess.
So how like, you can obviously take that one away.
Right.
And I would venture to say that he still feels he is human.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, read his blog. He's human. He's human as hell.
Okay. So how many other of his senses could you take away before he no longer feels human?
Well, and how do you define sense? Because let's say you could take Roger Ebert and you could take his brain out of his body and put it in a Futurama-esque jar. And you could directly beam to him like movies, and he could output his thoughts about them. I would think he would say that he'd probably have a lot of soul searching journals about it. But at the end of the day, he would be able to, as long as he could talk to his friends and family and people on the internet, and he could take in new input and learn new things, that he would still feel human. So I like to say, like, yeah. I think humans are kind of like an input output mechanism. That as long as you don't fuck that up.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's going to be some people that can't process it and don't have the, because I think you got to have a will to live, and you have the positive outlook. And Roger seems to have a very positive outlook on life.
Oh yeah, definitely. Despite all he's gone through.
Yeah. That if you've got that, you can retain your humanity through just about damn near anything.
Well, I mean, that's the thing that evolution has given us, right? It's
right?
given us the big brain. It's given us the ability, the consciousness. The understanding, the sentience,
right?
To know that we are human, even
right.
So, aside from taking that away, taking our brain away, our reason and our thoughts, I don't know what you could do to us that would make us not human or not feel human.
Which makes
anymore.
Me think that if you could load us up into a giant data array,
you could possibly simulate the brain, and we'd still feel human.
Yep.
I could agree
with
that.
It's too bad we weren't born 100 years from here.
From
now. Because we might be able to live forever. But damn it,
I'm living forever anyway.
I don't...
Margaritas and cheap beer.
I live life a quarter mile at a time. Just like Vin Diesel.
Who are you, James Dean?
No.
Oh, yeah, Vin Diesel.
The Fast and Furious quote.
Oh, I want to say something that I didn't mention in the Fast and Furious review.
Are we done with the transit topic?
We're done. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm ready to transition too.
Okay, real quick.
I'm going to mail this podcast to Roger Ebert and see what he thinks.
Yes, please do.
I want to say, Roger, please jump to this particular minute because you don't want to hear the shit that comes before.
It will rot your brain and you will no longer be human.
Yeah, it will rob you of humanity. But I want to hear your take on this. Like, what would it be like to, like, just leave your body?
Yeah.
And be in a cyborg body or just be in a machine that could watch movies and talk to your friends and talk to your wife and
be like,
still interact.
Be like Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right. Yeah.
No, okay, so Fast and Furious 5, real quick. I was going to say their quarter mile, their idea of quarter mile, a slow quarter mile is 13 seconds, right?
Yeah, right.
And their quarter mile lasted for like a minute and a half.
Uh-huh.
The slowest fucking quarter mile you've ever seen in your life.
Right.
I just thought that was hilarious.
They talked about this on Adam Carolla and Bill Simmons' cast. The quarter mile is the worst display of driving skill.
Because they said
you take the number one funny car NHRA champion in the world, and you put him in a BMW, you know, 328i, just like yours.
25i, yeah.
Just like yours. And you put them on a quarter mile, so the machines are the same. You're both going to stamp down on the gas,
and that's what you're going to do
until you get to the quarter mile.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, one motion.
If you took a car that had 10 more horsepower than him, you're going to stomp his ass every single time.
Yeah,
his reaction time, his driving skill, there's going to be nothing.
There's a slight bit of skill in the shifting, like the economics of shifting. If you can shift well, you're going to shift faster than the other guy. You're going to have more RPMs going into your next shift. There's a little bit of artistry there, but very little.
It depends on the car, yeah. Like,
certainly not nearly as much as like a Le Mans race where you're going around corners.
Like if you want to race, go to Laguna Seca and take a couple hot laps around there, and then you can say, yeah, that guy's a better driver
than
me.
Or do like the Monaco GP.
The quarter mile is like playing checkers for the king of strategy games. Or no, like tic-tac-toe.
Yeah. Sure.
Even better.
Yeah. Where it's a tie every time if you have the same comprehension of the game.
Yeah. But, you know, hey, it's a dramatic conceit.
But anyway, yeah, a minute and 30-second half miles are ridiculous.
Yeah, if you can quote all of Hamlet in the time that it takes to do a quarter mile,
you've got a damn slow car. You're probably on a bicycle, actually.
Shall we initiate the feedback sequence?
Do it.
Jesse Wilson, one of our head frenemies.
Oh, you can't read this. You're not going to let this guy get on our show, are you?
Well, he said he loved our Drinco de Mayo cast, which, I can't believe he made that pun. I'm jealous.
It's a good one.
Drinco de Mayo. That
I'm
was
not going to lie. Pretty good. But this is another Drinco de Mayo, right?
It's still May, I guess.
It's still May. We're still drinking margaritas and beer.
Well, he had some leftover, sure.
It's some leftover.
He said, leave the booze casting to professionals, you teetotalers.
Whatever.
Yeah. It makes me want to have a drinking competition with them.
Just because we don't talk about our drinking doesn't mean we don't drink on the cast.
That's right. And I just wonder.
Between us, we finished off the fifth of margaritas.
Right.
And we're both drinking beers.
Right.
So until you come with some hard liquor.
I'm just saying that, like, if they come out for Gen Con, we should have a smoke-off.
And a drink-off.
And then we go out to PAX Prime, we should have a drink-off.
And then a quarter-mile competition.
And then immediately from crashing an industry party where we have all the food and booze and women that we want, we get into a car and we race a quarter mile.
I'm down.
All right.
I'm down.
Gauntlet thrown down.
Yep.
Also, some of our frenemies from the Personal Arrogance crew, Levi
Jeans,
who joined the forums, was not a big fan of Mankano.
Well, fuck him.
But he's the only one, because everybody else loved the Mankano. Dark Praxis says, he said he made the awful mistake of listening to this cast during work. Aww. But it's an awful mistake because my coworkers kept asking me why I couldn't stop laughing. Seriously enjoyed the hell out of the cast.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much there, Darth. Levi was the one of the few that didn't feel the Mankano love.
Am I wrong in saying that Darth Paxis was the one who suggested our lead role in Mankano to be Nicolas Cage?
Yes. Yes.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah. Like
I really do.
Don Staffa, he said he wanted Adam Sandler to play Mankano and Keith David as Pussy Popper. Not bad.
Not bad.
But you cannot get better than Nick Cage as the can popper.
And at some point, could he set his skull on fire? That's all I'm asking.
Why not? Buscemi as the Mankano.
Yeah, that's pretty
and
good.
And Nick Cage as the can popper. It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah. I'm liking it.
So that's what kind of went down on our cast this weekend.
And that action is all at the forum. If you want to contribute to that, forums.baldmove.com.
Yep.
Check them out. You can get all our bonus material there, too.
We had a discussion about spoilers, because apparently I'm the only person in the world that feels this way about spoilers.
Yeah,
that
I don't want spoilers.
Has a distinction between twist and dramatic. Everyone has called bullshit on that. You know,
yeah,
I guess me and Colt, but whatever. It's the way I feel. It's my hot body. I'll do what I want. whatever. A little bit more feedback. We got a Don's
Staffa.
Thing.
Staffa's Corner.
Staffa's Corner. Thank you very much. I'm loading that up now. I remember he just had a Scottish accent that he requested on this, but I can't remember what the... I remember I wasn't thrilled about the topic.
Well, if the topic's bad, we're not going to do it.
No, we have to. Because
honestly, I'm a little too drunk to do a Scottish accent, but I'll try.
Oh, I think come on.
You think that Scottish accent needs to be drunk, right?
Yeah.
No, the Irish accent needs to be drunk. The Scottish accent needs to have haggis in my mouth. Or
drunker.
Some sausage or something.
Drunker. Yeah, drunker. You can't go wrong with the Scottish accent.
I forgot my Utilikilt today, but I'll still try it. I'll try it. My bagpipes. Let's get some bagpipes in the back. Can we get some bagpipes?
We can do bagpipes. Although, goddamn, we have less than 24 hours before this podcast rolls out the factory door.
Well, we need bagpipes.
That's the bad thing about Thursday casting.
The only request that I have is bagpipes.
We'll see if we can find some bagpipes. Bad pipes.
Bad pipes.
Bad pipes.
They are bad pipes.
All right.
Shit. Here we go.
I don't know about this pot. I don't know about the
I can barely
topic.
Read at this point.
I don't
Margaritas
know about the topic.
And beer.
But I do like the Scottish accent because you have the best Scottish accent in the world.
I don't hype it up, man, because then I'm not going to be able to do this shit. I can barely see. I don't even have my glasses on. I don't know where this is going.
Me either.
Okay. Anyway. Here we go.
Warm it up. Do some barrels. Do some making barrels.
There
you go.
I gotta roll the R there. Making a little barrels. Yeah.
You got it. I'm feeling it.
Dear Blue Yonder, the force of evil always have a means to get a view of anywhere. Whether they are using security cameras, enchanted mirrors, or Lord knows what they're using.
Did he say Utilikilt cameras?
I think so. They can always get a good look behind the barrels. In a secret base, or a space station, even a bottle of Scrumpy. I don't know what Scrumpy is.
I don't know either. Go
Fuck
with it.
Let's go.
Haggis.
I do not understand how they can always do this. Rolling me R.
Did he put that at the end?
Sincerely yours, Staffa. P.S. He would like this read in a Scottish accent.
Hell
yeah. I didn't know that. I would have read it in a Scottish accent if I knew that.
Fan service. I don't know.
Go.
I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Dude, anytime I read in an accent, I don't pay attention to the topic.
He's talking about, he said the forces of evil always know what the good guys are doing. Is that true? Like, I
Is
can think
true?
Of like in...
Well, let's go to Thor. Let's go to our most recent experience with the forces of evil always kind of knew what Thor was doing, right? He sent down the monster to kill Thor.
All right.
He knew Thor was on Earth. He knew...
All right.
He knew far more than Thor knew about him.
Omniscient gods. I'm thinking like, okay, so like Wizard of Oz, sure.
The witch, yeah.
The witch
well,
had
when you're
their
dealing
little
with witches.
Crystal ball that she could
when
look at.
When you're dealing with witches. You're
dealing with witches. Supernatural. But like, Doc Ock didn't know what the fuck Spider-Man was doing.
No,
right?
That's true.
Magneto doesn't know what the fuck the X-Men are doing.
That's because he got that helmet on.
Right.
He can't know.
I think that basically that's a sign of poor plotting. Like
when the bad guys know too much?
Yeah, and that's what's so good about The Wire, because you...
Oh,
the audience sees both sides of the war on drugs.
And
but
they're always parallel to
the individual soldiers and cops on either side have no idea what the fuck is going on. And they find out, you know, like at dramatically appropriate times. Or like, I won't even say dramatically appropriate. It just seems like appropriate times.
Sure, realistically
like,
appropriate.
Yeah, like they have, like you got smart characters and stupid characters and the smart ones catch on first and the, you know, so you, and they're on both sides. You got dumbass cops, you got dumbass criminals. You got smart cops, you got smart criminals. And it happens, and they got both sides have rules that they follow, and it happens more or less organically, and I love it.
You just want to talk of Wire because you've been watching
God,
it
I
lately.
I love The Wire, man.
You're so gay for Wire.
I just finished season 3 of The Wire.
It's good, but it's not that good, man.
No, it's so good.
It's not that good.
Best drama ever.
No, wrong. Mad Men, best drama ever.
Ooh, really?
Mad Men.
A pure drama.
Mad Men or Breaking Bad? Breaking Bad's
Breaking
good,
Bad's
but
good.
I know there are a couple
By the way, on. We are starting up a Breaking Bad podcast
as
in
soon
July.
As soon as the show starts.
In July. The first probably Monday of July or Wednesday of July, we're going to release a cast that has at least, you know, the introduction to it and where we're at so far and our predictions. And then we're going to, every week, Breaking Bad comes out on Wednesday. You hear our take on Breaking Bad comes out on Sunday. You hear our take on Wednesday.
Yeah, this is not answering his question at all.
No, because
why
I just,
do the bad guys always know? Why do the bad guys know?
I don't think they do when the plot sucks. Because
okay.
I can think of literally hundreds of examples, dozens of examples where the bad guys don't know. I mean, I guess Star Wars, because the Emperor always can foresee it.
Yeah, that's kind of the cop out.
But he doesn't really, because if he did, he wouldn't.
He would know he's about to die.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's limits.
Sure.
But, I don't. Is this a
So this is one where we're disagreeing with the Don.
This is the first time in a long time we've disagreed with him. Like, we need more examples. We need more in-depth analysis.
Yeah, I think your next email is going to have to step it up, Don. Otherwise, I don't know.
No, I don't mind arguing with the Don.
No, I don't mind it, but he needs to provide some proof. That email had no proof.
But
that
we told him to keep it short. He's got he's got this tension between
Catch-22,
delivering the goods. Like, you know, if he gives 5 minutes of cited Wikipedia style scholarly research, we're gonna be like, fucking shit. Fast forward.
Yep.
TLDR. So yeah.
Whatever. Do we have any more feedback? That's all I want to know.
We do. I have one more show notes.
Podcast is running long.
Nah, it's not that bad.
It's running way long. The listeners are tuned out.
I got one more show note.
Hours ago.
Our friend, we know that our friend Peter Street hasn't been with us for the last couple weeks.
Sure, sure.
And that's because we decided we are splitting the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
He is going to resurrect Power Play.
Awesome.
Which is a more kind of
game-centric and
free rambling, longer stream of consciousness.
Well, I think it's going to be more analytical from what I can gather. It's not going to be focused so much on the entertainment. More of like a let's take this topic and really break it down. Let's understand this topic.
And he's actually going to do it. He's going to recruit a new show host, Staffa.
Yeah, the Don.
They're actually
might
the
appear
Don on
baldmove.com.
And we're going to have Peter back on our cast from time to time, and he's going to invite us to his cast, and we're going to all release it under the Bald Move banner, just like we're going to do Breaking Bad. The Jonestown Jams and all our other side projects.
Bald Move Circus Tent.
So look for that coming. They're slated to record their first. We're back in the bald cave, by the way.
We are in the bald cave.
We abandoned the bald tower.
When you have a girlfriend.
When you have an 800 square foot apartment and you've got a buddy that has a 2,400 square foot house that he lives in 800 square feet of. You know, you got a whole wing of the house, the whole wing that you can turn into the bald cave.
You don't want to have to dodge mics on your way to the bed when there's a girl involved.
No. Having a full podcast set in your bedroom is definitely a turnoff.
For sure. Having foam up on your walls is either creepy and or a turnoff. Either one.
I wonder if the Personal Arrogance guys go to this length. Like, we've got fucking acoustic foam
fucking foam.
Yeah, we got the foam.
I bet they don't have any foam.
Bring the foam thunder.
That's the thing, man. We need to tag this podcast with,
maybe
like, the keyword foam.
Echoes.
Because they can't do that.
Echoes don't propagate in Seattle. The
moisture
air
in the air
is so damp.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't echo in Seattle.
That's probably true. Fact. And the voice is so thick with beer.
Yeah.
You can't even really echo through that.
They got like beer goggles for voices.
Yeah, just lungs full of beer.
Yeah. So you do that.
Sounds a lot like Boss Nass.
Permanently gargling. I'm editing that out.
Okay.
So let's initiate the end of cast sequence.
Oh, at the total end of cast sequence?
Yes.
All right. We've got a lot of social media stuff going on. We've got Twitter.com/baldmove. We've got Facebook.com/baldmove. We've got, of course, our forums that we've been talking up the entire time, forums.baldmove.com. Go there, sign up, get our bonus casts, our input, our feedback, everyone's thoughts about the shows.
We need emails. We'll read it. Whatever you send up to a minute in length, request accents or have
blue
us email.
Yonder.
Yeah, blueyonder@baldmove.com.
Yes, sir.
Click on – there's a link to iTunes on our main site at baldmove.com.
But it goes right to a virus. Don't click on it.
Yeah, you'll see that Chrome says that this is a threat site and it'll have a big red symbol.
Just click yes.
Ignore.
Keep clicking yes.
Click yes until, you know, we own your machine. And we can keep hacking the PlayStation Network.
Put our podcast directly onto your machine.
Follow that link for real and give us a 5-star review.
Absolutely. Like, that's the biggest thing that you can do is tell a friend, give us a 5-star review. Let somebody in your life know about our podcast, because we don't do a whole lot of advertising. We basically
advertise
to our friends on Facebook.
Right.
And we don't have
any
friends.
And they
already know about the podcast.
We're assholes. We have no friends.
Yeah. You can tell that if you listen to our show. You know.
But if you're our kind of asshole, you know, and you know other assholes of this kind.
That would like our show.
Then forward that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably the best way you can help us out. And the best way we can help you out by continuing to give you content. God, I feel like an infomercial. And it grills and it dices and it slices.
It has to be done.
All right. Anyway, that's it for the show. Until next time, I'm Jim Jones.
I'm Aaron Hubbard. Ciao. We're making fucking love faces.
I got friends
in love places
where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away.
I'll be okay. I ain't big on social graces. Think I'll slip on down to the oasis, cause I got friends in low places. You know what? The podcast, if shit don't work out, we need to find ourselves a steel guitar player.
Yep.
Country Western.
Just get a little, yeah, man, the steel guitar with the little slide thing.
We need a Garth Brooks fucking cover band is what this world needs.
A Garth Brooks cover band podcast.
Look, saying that the world wasn't ready for Garth Brooks to leave the stage. Like he left on top. The world won. Right. It's like well, Elvis dying.
Well, he turned into Chris.
Everybody's like, no, we want Garth, not Chris. Was terrible. But then he came back and people are like, he's selling out arenas and he just disappeared.
He did disappear. What happened to Garth Brooks?
I don't know.
Holy shit, Garth Brooks. I don't know, man.
The world's hungry for some more Garth.
He's like one of the only country stars that I ever even cared to like.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of classics.
Him and a couple other people.
George Jones, Johnny Cash.
Yeah, yeah. Some White Lightning, you know, you gotta like White Lightning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I thought you said White Snake for some reason. I'm going to go, yeah, they're country western.
Yeah, sure, why not? Megadeth, you gotta love that country music.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other one? Johnny Cash, man. You gotta love Johnny Cash.
Hell yeah, he's a staple on our geek mix when we play games over here.
For sure.
Over here. I need to get my mic cord managed.
Wrangled. Johnny Cash. No further.
Yeah. You can't get further than Johnny Cash on the Alright, I got my Lamaze breathing going.
Hey, Ron's about to have a kid here.
So I need to put the bullshit up front, man.
Yeah. Oh, I got to pull up Google Docs. Google it, my dogs.
Oh, I got friends.
Google Docs.
In low places.
Docs? Nope, not dicks. Docs.
Google
Dicks.
Google.
That's unfortunate. That is unfortunate placement of the I and the O there. You could actually search for dicks, Google, and that would be bad. Or at least I assume that would be bad. I've never searched. For the record, I have never searched for dicks Google.
Well. I was about to say who hasn't, but then you just said I hadn't, so. That fucked up my Christmas pretty bad. All right, I have my topics divided into bullshit and meat.
Well, aren't you prepared?
I wonder.
Aren't you this little prepared Johnny today?
I am. I wonder if there is anything else I should do, like, this is header one. Meat! Meat.
Oh, yeah, I got my topics divided up into meat and more meat because I don't have any bullshit.
You don't have any bullshit.
None of my topics are bullshit.
Nothing's bullshit comes out of your throat, except for that one time you just actually choked on bullshit.
Yeah, that was bad.
You shouldn't try to eat it, man.
Fuck you, Google.
You can get killed for that. Google finds out you're talking shit about them, they will off your fucking ass.
Okay, Aaron's topic for the week, Blue Yonder Outline. Did you get my email that shared this with you?
No, I did not.
You didn't?
I kind of like going in not knowing.
I shared it, Code Food.
Yeah, I did. I saw that I got it.
Oh, you didn't check it out?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I kind of like not knowing much about what you're going to talk about. Should I go down and get a margarita?
Yeah, you should, and I should refill mine as well.